In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All through the church's year, but especially during Lent, we're asked to focus in a particular way on the cross. It was primarily through the cross that our Lord suffered. It was by carrying the cross that he carried our sins. It was in dying on the cross that he won for us the grace to become children of God. And during Lent, we spent a great deal of time in prayer and reflection on the beautiful mystery of the cross, how terrible our Lord's sufferings were, and how he was thinking of each of us in a personal way as he suffered. During Eastertide, our tendency is to move our thoughts away from that great mystery. We tend to turn our minds away from the cross and toward the empty tomb. The spirit of Easter is no longer one of sorrow, but of rejoicing and gladness. And yet the church does not want us to forget the cross. Even at the very beginning of Easter, at the beginning of the Easter Vigil, during the blessing of the Paschal candle, the priest traces the sign of the cross and places 5 grains of incense into the candle, praying these words, "By his holy and glorious wounds, may Christ our Lord guard us and protect us." At the second Sunday of Easter, the church places before us the beautiful gospel of our Lord revealing himself to his disciples and showing them these wounds in his hands and feet and side. The preaching of the apostles that we hear from the book of Acts throughout Eastertide is all focused on the unity of the mysteries of the cross and resurrection. This unity is so close that the church has never seen in the cross and resurrection 2 mysteries, but one that we call the Paschal mystery. One cannot be without the other. And so during Eastertide, the church does not want us to ignore the cross, but to see it now as it truly is. Not an instrument of torture and humiliation, but the tree of life, the true vine which has brought about our own new birth as sons and daughters of God. For many centuries, and even now in many parts of the world, there was celebrated a great feast on the 3rd of May. This feast was known as the Finding of the Holy Cross, and it commemorated the great event in 4th century Jerusalem, when St. Helena, the mother of Constantine, discovered the true cross buried in the hill of Calvary. As the story goes, discovering the location of the cross was fairly easy. After the Romans destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD, so less than 40 years after our Lord ascended, they built a temple to the goddess Venus on top of Calvary. St. Helena had this temple destroyed when she arrived 2.5 centuries later, and the workers began digging. They found 3 crosses, but there was nothing to distinguish the true cross of our Lord. So the Bishop of Jerusalem brought a woman who was suffering with a terrible illness to the hill of Calvary. They had her touch 2 of the crosses, and nothing happened. And after touching the 3rd, she was completely healed. The older feast of the cross is, of course, September 14th. But the church wanted to establish this feast during the Easter season to help us see the cross in light of the resurrection. Even after Easter, we're called to embrace the cross, not in a sorrowful and painful way, but joyfully, and not only to embrace it, but to join ourselves to it. Jesus can never be separated from his cross. And so if we are to be other Christs, we too have to have this union that our Lord speaks of today. The church has always seen the cross as the exemplar of this image of the vine. The cross has many metaphors in the history and liturgy of the church, but there's always been this beautiful image of the tree or vine, which is the source of life for all united to it. If you've ever been to Rome, there's a church called San Clemente, just down the street from St. John Lateran, and the huge apse of the sanctuary is covered with a massive mosaic. In the center is our Lord on the cross, and growing out from the bottom of the cross are 2 vines. And these vines spiral out in every direction to form new vines, and those form more vines, and so on and so forth. And in every section of this mosaic, within these various branches of the vine, there are images of the saints and depictions of the virtues and works of mercy. These images demonstrate the intimate connection that there is and must be in the mystical body of Christ between the head, Jesus, and the members, all of us. Our Lord gives a sober reminder in the gospel, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." This is a reality that we must hold to firmly. When he says nothing, he really means it. Without Jesus and without being united to his cross, we are totally helpless. It's in his cross, lived through our daily crosses, that we find life and joy and peace. It's in union with the cross that our lives can truly bear fruit. This is the great paradox of Christianity, that this supposed instrument of death is the source of happiness and peace for every person on earth. Our Lord says elsewhere in the Gospels that we, his disciples, will do greater things than he did. And again, Jesus means every word that he says. He was only on this earth for 33 years, in a small, forgotten part of the Roman Empire. His personal preaching and healing was relatively little in comparison to what he has empowered his disciples to do. Look at a man like St. John Vianney, the patron of parish priests. For much of his life, he was hearing confessions for up to 16 hours a day. He extended absolution to thousands upon thousands during his life, but of course it was not him. It was Christ working through him. Think of Mother Teresa, feeding and caring for the countless thousands of poor and sick throughout her life that otherwise would have been outside of Christ's reach, humanly speaking. But she joined herself to the cross more every day. Her constant drive came from remembering daily Jesus' cry from the cross, "I thirst." She spent herself to quench Jesus' thirst for souls. For us, we may not be called to acts on such a grand scale, but our Lord calls us in the smallest, simplest moments of our day. If you think about your average day, there are so many opportunities to unite ourselves to Jesus. Every time we encounter someone who may be kind of annoying, have some work to do that we really don't want to do, or dealing with family members or coworkers who just won't see things our way, it's in those moments that we're called to see Christ, to see his cross and ours. It's in those moments that we experience our call to be saints. As we see the cross now in the midst of the joyful season of Easter, we can see it for what it is, the tree of life, the true vine, of which we are and are called to be the branches. Remain in this vine, our Lord says. In any relationship, it won't work if we don't get to know the other person. This is where our prayer life comes in. We must set aside some time each day just to be with him, get to know him better by reading his word, simply going over the gospel each day, praying over the gospel and the readings for the mass each day, even if we can't get to mass, is a wonderful way to get to know this man, this God, whom we worship and to whom we pledge our lives. As baptized members of Christ's body, each of us is already bound to him in a real and permanent way. We already have the relationship. We just have to get to know him better every day so that we can truly be what we're called to be, another Christ, Christ himself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.